Good morning. It is a true Christian joy that you are gathered here together in God's house for worship this morning. Today we celebrate the Feast of All Saints, and we give thanks to God that he has called his church together for every single soul that has preceded us in the faith, for us now, and that will come after us. And so we think about the church militant, those of us who are still on earth fighting the good fight, and those whom God has called to his heavenly home that are now in the perpetual and eternal marriage feast of the Lamb. So today is really a Sunday to give thanks to God for his church and for all of those who he has called together. A few announcements to commend to our care this morning. First off, there is no youth group today since they all should be pretty tired from all their yard work yesterday. Tomorrow we will have the no singing masked service at 4:30, so that is available for all saints. And on Thursday at 11, we will have communion at Lenore, so mark your calendars for that. Also, today is a very sweet day. The Mary and Martha Guild nuts have arrived, and there will be someone to attend you to pick them up after service today. They are making the request to make sure someone from the guild is there to make sure all the paperwork is clear. Garden Club will meet next Saturday at 11, and they are very welcoming and encouraging of new members. And then last, a bit of a celebrity announcement. Pastor Thiem will be on KFUO Lutheran Radio this coming Saturday, I believe, or Friday. So if you'd like to hear Pastor Thiem on the radio, you can stream it live at kfuo.org or listen on 8:50 a.m. With that, a few other announcements for your reading pleasure in the bulletin. And now we prepare to come into the presence of our Lord where he has gathered us around his word and sacrament. God's blessings on your worship.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me.
Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, the people of God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the revelation given to St. John, chapter 7. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day.
Thank you. grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you, dearly beloved of the Lord. Please be seated. Have you ever gone somewhere and there was a line that you didn't expect? Have you ever gone somewhere such as a grocery store or Walmart and you thought, oh good, I'm going to get in, get out, but there was a line, or a restaurant? Should we really be surprised? They are public places and a lot of other people know about it. Our first year of marriage, a wife and I, we went up to Maine and we went to the Arcadia National Park. And it sits on a rather large island. We went camping there and we were on what I thought was the inside of the park from what I could tell. But on the first night, it was close to midnight, I heard this sound. I couldn't quite figure what it was. Being curious, I got up, got out of the tent and let her sleep. And the moon was up high and the light was full moon, and I followed this path. And as I followed the path, it took me to the scene. And what it was a cliff that overlooked the ocean. And the moon was shining down. I thought, I'll surprise my wife tomorrow. It's such a romantic, quiet spot that would be. So the next day came, the sun went down, the moon started to come up, and I took her down that path. And there we came, and it opened up, and there was the cliff, and the moon shining on the water, and a lot of other couples. I shouldn't have been surprised. Being surprised, we shouldn't be. Should we really be surprised that what we have and looked and behold a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and cried in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Should we really be that surprised that there's such a great multitude? How many of you can remember from the end of Matthew 28? The end of Matthew 28, a lot of times, is called the Great Commission. All authority and power has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Why are we surprised? Why would we be surprised there's such a great multitude? Because was that not the Great Commission? To go out and baptize and put the people and put on them the name of our Lord to all nations, and that they would be taught? They should not be surprised at all, because they are there, that great multitude that are there in the baptism. Because the baptism is where we are given that beautiful white gown of righteousness, that robe of righteousness. For there we are made, that robe is made. We came out of the great tribulation, it said, and made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. There should be no surprise. There should be no surprise that their robe is made through white through the blood of the Lamb, although that's a little odd. You usually don't put blood on something to make it white. But when it's the Lamb's blood, Jesus' blood, it does make us white. You see, it all goes all the way back. Is it not on Palm Sunday that we celebrate Jesus coming in with palm branches in their hand? Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. God save us. And remember what that comes from. That comes from all the way. That is the day of the selection of the Lamb on that day. And here comes the Lamb in. And that goes all the way back to the Old Testament and the Passover. And as you remember in the old Passover, what you had, they come out of Egypt. And what took place? They were to take a lamb and celebrate that every year. 1 year, male lamb without blemish. And then what were they to do? One, they were supposed to eat it. Then what were they supposed to do with the blood? Mark the doors. Why were they marking the doors? So what passes over? Death passes over. So why are we surprised that on Palm Sunday we celebrate that lamb coming in to be slaughtered? The Paschal Lamb, who is without blemish, that is, he is without sin. And he comes. and it comes into Jerusalem. So we should not be surprised that a multitude stands before God and the Lamb. Nor should we be surprised that that Lamb was sacrificed on Good Friday. There, the one without blemish took on your blemishes and my blemishes, took those sins that belong to us, and took them upon himself, that we would have a robe that was cleansed, a righteousness that was cleansed by his blood. We should not be surprised, nor should we be surprised about Easter, a celebration of the resurrection of the dead, for Jesus Christ was the first fruit, which meant there were those who were going to follow. And you know, it is on that day we celebrate. We celebrate that the bony fingers of death could not keep hold of Christ. Nor can those bony fingers of cold death keep hold of those who have gone before us, the saints that have gone before us. The saints are those who believe. You know, we processed in today with this beautiful, beautiful processional cross. And on the front, it's a little different because on the front you see a figure, but it's not the crucified Christ. We had him last week. This week, it's the risen Christ. It is the Christ victorious that's on that cross. His hand stretched out, a crown on his head, also known as the Christ, the King. That he hangs upon, or that he is there to remind us that he has made us white with that robe of righteousness and give us life. Why are we surprised that there's a multitude we shouldn't be from every nation, tribe, people, and languages? But sometimes we act surprised. We do. You know when we act surprised? Funerals. Honest to goodness, we act like we're so surprised that the multitude will be there when we go to funerals. Because I think too often what we get is something like a parlor trick. You know what a parlor trick is? Some of you probably know a parlor trick. A parlor trick can be something simple. It's a lot of times meant one time in a parlor. How many of you have a parlor in your home? I don't have a parlor either. A parlor trick was to entertain people on a small scale and level. A lot of times it was with a coin or with words or a deck of cards or something that was handy. You probably know a parlor trick that you might have done to a young child. I know my brother did it to me. I've done it to other people, to children especially. You bend down and you get in front of them and go, oh, I see something. I think there's something in your ear. And you reach up and you pull out of their ear a coin. And they're like, oh boy. They're so excited. And then they're checking out their ear. How'd you do that? How'd you get that out of my ear? It's a little trick, but the trick we do is a parlor trick. It's a funeral parlor trick. We're there to impress people about the one who had gone before. And so sometimes they'll get up and they'll give, what do they call those? I can't even think of the name of it. A eulogy, thank you. They'll give a eulogy. And it's fine to talk about the person and things that God had accomplished in their lives. But sometimes these eulogies and these sermons that are given is like a little trick, like, well, I know how they're standing there. They're standing there because they were such a wonderful person. They were a great person, and yes, they may have been in many ways. But they never put a check on it to talk about other sinful people like you and me. People they had wronged in their lives, we don't tend to bring that up. Or we pretend like it never happened. I knew a pastor who had a parishioner, and he served that parishioner until the very end when he died. But he was a cantankerous man. He had driven so many people away from his life and from his home and from the family, that when the funeral came, his wife had died before him. When the time came for the funeral, a handful of people showed up. A neighbor, a nurse, some that had taken care of him. And if that pastor would have stood up there and did the funeral parlor trick of talking about how good and great a person this was, they would not believe a single word that followed about Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Why would you? You didn't tell the truth there. The pastor, in a very gracious way, did talk about him being cantankerous. But he also talked about how Christ took such a cantankerous person as they are, or as we are at times. Cover them with a robe of righteousness by the blood of the Lamb, to give him a place among the multitude that stood before the Lamb and God on the throne, that stood there with palm branches in his hands. You see, when we celebrate a funeral, when we have a funeral, yes, there are tears. Of course there are tears, and there should be tears. There's nothing natural about death. God never meant it to be. It was a judgment. It was a judgment on the sin that we brought into this world. Of course it hurts. It's an unnatural separation. But it's also a celebration, because we know that's only a moment in time and place. That's why when we have these traditions that are sometimes celebrated, that on the casket we'll have this big white funeral pall. Why? Because it reminds us that we are covered by the white robe of Christ of righteousness. That from the moment of baptism, that's one of the times you see a robe, isn't it? A white robe, a little child will wear it. And sometimes you see these pastors that grow up in white robes. But otherwise you don't see it. But that's to remind us that the name of God, the name of the Lamb, was put upon that child of God. There's also something else that I ask, and please help my wife remember, and I say it all the time. Do you remember what I want buried with me? When I'm in the casket, and I'm sitting there, and you're looking at me, and what is it I want? Yes, I want a palm branch in my hands. It's an old tradition. It's a reminder of Revelation chapter 7. It's a reminder of Revelation chapter 7. And they wave palm branches of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lamb had accomplished for this body that's laying there that will be mine one day. But that's okay, because I'm going to be okay, because our risen Lord, our Lamb, has given us life and salvation, and He will wipe away every tear and gives us springs of living water. And that's why we celebrate what we celebrate. We're also reminded of something else here. We are reminded, too, that the salvation belongs to God, that it belongs to Him. He's the one who does it. And throughout life, there will be people that you love and you care for, people that you know, or people that you only pass by, who have been given the robe of righteousness by our Lord Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism, making them His own. And it's as if they take that robe and they set it aside, and they forget what it's there for. And it makes our hearts ache, and it's painful, and tears come. But who does that salvation belong to? It belongs to God. So it is into His hands that we proclaim and these people, and we say, Lord, this person belongs in Your hand, and I do not know what You're going to do, but if You want to use me, Lord, then let me be bold in the witness and continue to confess the Lamb in Christ that's for them too, that He came into this world for them, for their life, that they would not be eternally separated, that we are in that same boat, and we all, no one deserves to be in heaven, but because of Him, Lord, call them back. Even if it is at the last hour and the last breath, call them back, Lord, to You. Salvation belongs to our Lord. We never should be surprised, ever, about the number that stand before the Lord, or how they got there. Because the Lord makes it quite clear, and that's what we teach, and that's what we confess, and that's what we proclaim. We are there because of Jesus. We stand forgiven and blessed, and we stand in His mercy, and we stand in His grace, and we shall stand together one day with the witnesses and the elders and the whole multitude, with palm branches in our hands. Oh, darn, I was wrapping it up. Hang on one more second. The competition is getting to me. But she's okay. Don't worry about it. That's all right. One last thing. See, she's saying, preach it, brother, preach it. Unless it's a boy, then I'm sorry. It's a girl, right? Okay. One of the last things to keep in mind is this. Something absolutely beautiful about today is this. In some churches, they have a half circle for the communion rail. And we, the church militant, those who are still going through the tribulation, are here with the Lamb and before the throne. And the other half that we see are those who are faithful, who have gone before us. And we gather together, listen to our hymns and our readings. We are here together, one in Christ. Not two, not three, but one, standing before the throne. They with the veil of death from their eyes, gone. With us, we still have the veil before us, a thin veil as it is. But we rejoice together on this day. Now, go in peace and blessings. I invite you to stand as we confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is spoken by the prophets. And I believe in one blood of the church and the apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this: blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Let us remember with thanksgiving those who have gone before us with a sign of faith, for they were created by God to offer Him praise and thanksgiving forever. And He gave them life through His Son in holy baptism, and nourished them in the company of His people at His holy table. And His mercy has summoned them to His nearer presence, so that they may continue in joyful service of Him forever. Joan Quilling, March 4th, the year of our Lord, 2020. Ed Lambert, April 21st, the year of our Lord, 2020. Olive Graham, May 11th, the year of our Lord, 2020. Debbie Crutchfield, July 7th, the year of our Lord, 2020. James Jim Niederjohn, July 24th, the year of our Lord, 2020. Hadwig Brown, August 28th, the year of our Lord, 2020. Dorothy Gleed, September 8th, the year of our Lord, 2020. Evelyn Lynn Frerking, September 9th, the year of our Lord, 2020. Orville Wickert, September 27th, the year of our Lord, 2020. Alicia Parker, October 21st, the year of our Lord, 2020. In joyful expectation of the resurrection to life, we remember before you, O Lord, all our departed kin and friends who have gone before us in faith. We offer thanksgiving for the gift of faith and hold fast to the certainty of your promises. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, life without end. Amen.
Standing with the great multitude of saints before the throne of God and the Lamb, let us join in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving to the God of our salvation. Mighty and eternal God, we remember before you the saints and martyrs of every generation who trusted in you in the face of terror and threat. Grant that when facing persecution and trial in our own day, we may be steadfast in faith. Deliver those whom you have washed in baptism, granting the new life that death cannot overcome. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mighty and eternal God, you are the Lord of the nations, and you have charged the governments of the earth to reign in equity and justice, that the gospel may go forth in peace. Grant to our nation peace in the coming days of the election, but also a sure and certain hope of our eternal citizenship in heaven, where your saints dwell in your perfected love and power. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mighty and eternal God, we rejoice that you have rescued us from the power of death and raised us in Christ to dwell with him in everlasting life. Give to those who grieve the comfort of the promise of the resurrection of the dead and eternal life, and bestow your pardon, your peace upon the dying, that they may fall asleep here and awaken in your glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mighty and eternal God, you have made us your children, and you continue to guard us as your own possession. According to your will, give healing to the sick, calm to the troubled in mind, and patience to those facing sorrow and struggle. Give health and peace to our nation. Hear us especially on behalf of those your children who are recovering from surgeries, illnesses, or injuries. Donna, Miriam, Elka, Archie, Keith, Lou, Roger, Emma, Carol, Hannah, Michael, Kira, Charlene, Barbara, Sophia, Larry, Richard, Michaela, Sue, Bob, Leslie, Ray, Steve, Donna, Ralph, Robin, Beth, Linda, Gary, Patty, and Jane. And we commend those to your care, those who are at home, John and Perlene, Esther, Bob and Norma, Harold, Betty, Vida, and Teresa. And for those who have other health issues, Erica, Jeff, Ken, Nicole, Arla, David, Russell, Timothy, Amy, Sammy, Ellie, Carol, Brandon, Dennis, Alvin, Yvonne, Sarah, Michelle, Lee, Michael, Julia, Sandra, Weston, Tabitha, Lavino, Jessica, Emma, Faith, Bill, Beverly, Kylie, Mary, Arlene, Blake, Roberta, Shirley, Kaylee, Jim, Emma, Sarah, Will, Sarah, Anthony, Brady, Rowena, Chelsea, and Ruth Ann. And for those who are undergoing treatment for cancer and managing its effects, Merritt, Beth, Aaron, Stephanie, Connie, David, Joyce, Joanne, Thatcher, Ron, Jennifer, Jerry, Brianna, Linda, Jamie, David, Renee, Tom, Stephanie, Susan, Robert, Anna, Ron, Teresa, Nancy, Sue Ellen, Sonia, Frank, Larry, John, Judy, Carl, Donna, Amy, Susan, Kent, Al, and Jan. Hear us on behalf of these and all those whom you know need your care. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, bring us to that day when every tear shall be wiped from our eyes and we shall hunger and thirst no more. Knowing you now by faith, we yearn for the day when we shall know you face to face. Until the dawn of that eternal day, keep us in your faith and fear through our good Shepherd and Lord, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. In the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.